Welcome everybody to the THP Strength Podcast. Today we are going to be answering the question, do Olympic lifts help you to jump higher? But before we do that, first I want to thank our sponsors, our kind and gracious sponsors, THP Strength Online Coaching. If you want to jump higher, they have a guarantee where you can gain at least 3 inches of vertical in 6 months. And if not, they'll train you for free until you do. And for a limited time only, it's only $99 a month as opposed to $700 a month. The price will be going up once they reach capacity. So take advantage of that while you still can. And yeah, I'll give you guys a discount too. If you want 10% off your first month, use the code THP at checkout. Having said that, let's answer the question. John, do Olympic lifts help you to jump higher?
Sorry, guys. We're trying to dial in the audio here so it sounds beautifully crisp for you boys.
Also, we're in a car because it's raining and we didn't feel like doing the podcast indoors.
Yeah.
So that's why.
That's why we're in a car today. So the question, do they help? You want my lens on this? Is that like what my opinion is?
Yeah. Should we give our experiences first?
There's so many ways we could approach this. I guess... Yeah, actually, yeah, let's do that. I like that. All right, so has Olympic lifting helped me in my vertical increase, okay? And have I seen it increase with other athletes? Me, personally, yes. I absolutely think it has. Without them, I don't think I would be near the one-foot jumper that I am. And as a two-foot jumper, I very, very concretely think that they have helped a lot. When I have jumped the highest, and then also some of the athletes that I've coached, when they've jumped the highest is when their power cleans have gone up, right? And it's not like, oh, I just learned the lift and they see a big jump. It's like as their power clean goes up, they jump higher, both off vert and approach vertical. They are very strongly correlated in my opinion. I think that if you're doing regular 2 foot jumping, then even 1 foot jumping, I see it probably correlate better. Hang power clean correlates better with 1 foot jumping, I think, especially high jump, than maybe any other metric I've seen personally for me. Maybe just getting really, really strong. High jump's a little bit different, but power clean for sure. And then in terms of coaching athletes, again, I see that all the time. So I've seen it with you, I've seen it with Austin. The potential to jump high is much higher as their power clean goes up. We're only talking about power clean. I'm not even gonna get into snatch or any of the other lifts right now, but whether you're good at them or not, it doesn't matter. What I see is that as you get better at them, people jump higher.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen.
Yeah, that has been my experience with it. I actually have a pretty big background with Olympic lifting. The reason being is my stepdad, he was an Olympic weightlifter when he was in college. He was actually an elite level Olympic weightlifter. He won Athlete of the Year for Puerto Rico.
I
think like 2003. For all college sports. And growing up, I would always watch VHS tapes of him lifting. He taught me lifting technique with a broomstick when I was really little. And I was always fascinated by the sport. And when I was around 14, 15 years old, that's when I started doing Olympic weightlifting and looking up YouTube videos about it. Looked up a lot to guys like Clarence Kennedy, everybody in the Chinese Olympic weightlifting team. So that was my inspiration for doing the Olympic lift, specifically power cleaning. And then when I started playing high school basketball, the coaches would make us do power cleans. And that was at both the schools that I went to in high school. So it was always something that I did. And I would squat a lot and I would power clean a lot. And as I started improving a lot and jumping every single day, this is very distracting, by the way.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm trying to tighten this. It keeps falling, and you keep falling out of the frame. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I set it up, and then it just goes and sinks down because the lens is too big.
Yeah.
And when it rests on this, it gets shaky as shit. There's a reason, guys, okay? If you're not watching, I'm trying to adjust the camera to get it to set where it needs to be.
But, I started jumping every day, and it's interesting because I feel like a lot of athletes that had that period of jumping every day just jumped and they didn't really focus on the weight room. I always did both. Like, I was jumping a lot and then I was lifting a lot, and I was power cleaning a lot. And again, as I jumped higher, my power clean has continued to rise and rise and rise. and there has been a pretty freaking strong correlation between me hitting a PR power clean and jumping my highest ever. Like, I think every time I have PR'd my vertical, I have hit a PR power clean like 2 to 4 weeks prior to that.
Right.
So it's a big indicator of my readiness as well.
That's maybe another question. Like, let's say you didn't power clean at all.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think it's that you would just know, it's like an assessment for you, like an assessment tool for you?
So I've been thinking about this because there is an argument to be made, like, maybe, like, correlation doesn't mean there's causation. Like, the power clean might not be the driver. Like, were there other factors?
Is jumping the reason your power clean's going up?
Yeah.
Who are we to say?
Yeah, if all other things the same, if I had taken out power cleans, would I be jumping 50.5 inch vertical? I guess that's the more interesting.
Yeah.
The more interesting question. I'll give my anecdotal experiences.
We've taken with out it. Cleans, I feel like, before.
It's yeah.
Crazy. What about pulls? Take out pulls, take out power cleans, take out everything.
So,
Olympic lift derivative.
I think if I were to take out pulls completely, I wouldn't have hit 50.5 inch vertical. I don't think my vertical would like that. Feeling strong pulling from the ground usually results in me jumping well.
What if you only did hex bar jump?
That's a good question. That is a very good question.
Every time I ever programmed Ollie's, we just put hex bar jump in.
Yeah. So
all we did was look at VBT.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there is a possibility I would still jump high.
I think it could potentially work.
Yeah.
It's just that I think your compliance on that wouldn't necessarily be great.
I would get really bored.
I think you get super bored.
With
I think
training.
It would become super monotonous. I think your buy-in would drop.
Yep. So I thought about this exact question. Like, I think I was like taking a shower or something, and I was like,
That's the best times.
And
taking a shit and taking a shower is the greatest times to think about training questions.
And I was thinking about it, and I think that there's three main benefits to OLEs in my opinion. One is your intent is way freaking higher. Mm-hmm. And with intent, I feel like, actually four. I think the catch is specific. If you're going really heavy and you're catching in a half squat, it is one of the most, we were talking in a different podcast about how there's lifts where I'm just like this trance. This feels just like a jump. Like
right,
just how my 2 foot. And when I catch a heavy ass clean, when it's like 90%+ of my max and I'm catching it right there on the half squat, it feels like when I am running fast as hell and I hit that 1-2 and I'm at the bottom of my plant. Feels really similar to that. So I think that transfers over really, really well. The intent, I don't think you could hit the same intent in, I guess, like more plyometric, like strength speed, similar like squat jumps, hex bar jumps, and that type of thing.
Right.
I just don't try as hard. I think psychologically, I can't try as
like
hard.
Like, even on pulls, like, it's different. Yesterday was a great example.
You
missed 285, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Like, you were pulling the hell out of the bar on... Mm-hmm. On Monday.
Yesterday, if you would have had, because I was fatigued, so my power clean was down like 35 pounds. If you would have had me do like squat jumps, I would not have been trying on like.
Yeah, there's no way.
But the weight, it's
but
like there's a goal.
Was like,
there's
a goal. You have to hit 85%. Mm-hmm. You have to hit 87.5% or 90%.
Which I guess if you had VBT though on a hex bar jump or a squat bar jump where you have to hit a certain velocity.
Yeah. The question is like, would you get bored?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely would get bored. And I. Enjoy Olympic lifting.
That's a big
lifting.
Part of it too. It's fun. It's a fun skill. It's badass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the great equalizer. Like
yep.
When I look at Ollie's and I'm looking at an athlete who wants to train and get better and they're about it, to me it's like, if you don't want to do Ollie's, you're not about it. If you don't want to master the technique, you're never gonna reach your genetic potential.
Well that's where the third thing that I was gonna say. Well, the other one real quick, I think variety.
Oh, yeah.
Variety is a freaking training law for adaptation, and Olympic lifting is just another tool that you can add variety with. It just expands your
a badass one.
Yeah,
badass.
Yeah, yeah. It expands your training bag and allows you to keep making progress for a longer period of time. Because they're probably in the near future, we probably at some point will take Olympic lifts out and mess around with hex bar jumps just for the stimulus,
fair.
for the novelty of it. But yeah, the variety, and then lastly, the coordination. If you can learn how to Olympic lift properly, you'll become a better athlete as a result. The guy on the horse.
What the fuck?
We're literally driving down a pretty urbanized area. What would you call it? A regular city.
It's a downtown road leading from downtown.
And there's a guy riding a horse on the sidewalk.
Trotting, like high stepping. Look, bro, it's almost like electric cars, you know? Like, soon enough, electric car, if you're in a petrol, it's going to be like, it's like horseback riding. You just enjoy the sights and sounds and smells of horseback.
That is so funny. That is so funny.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Anyways, yeah, you'll be a better athlete. You're gonna learn motor skills a lot better. Like, I feel like I've become a better athlete from having to teach myself Olympic lifts, studying it. You learn how to study too. Like, when you're obsessed with like Olympic lifting, you're watching videos and you're taking videos yourself and you make an adjustment. Like, you learn how to learn, and then it teaches you how to time things properly.
Here's another good question. This just came to mind and I had to interrupt. You look at our athletes as a whole, right?
Yeah.
Think about all the athletes with incredible Olympic lifting technique.
Yeah.
Good Oli technique, lift big numbers. Generally speaking, when you look at their ability to dunk.
I'm just going to name some names real quick. Isaiah Rivera, you might have
heard of him. Yeah, he's good.
Jordan Kilgannon, Jonathan Clark.
Think of our athletes too.
Dan Gross.
Yep.
Austin Burke.
Austin.
I'm trying to think of some other guys. I'm trying to think of like elite. But I just named guys that are at the top. At the top, basically the tippy top of 2 foot verticals.
Yep.
2 foot dunkers. They all have sensational, like if you were to take 100 athletes, they would be in the top 1% of Olympic lifting technique.
Right.
I would say. Yeah, all of them. We lifted with Dan. I've seen Kilgannon in the Olympic lift. I've seen Jay Clark lift.
Kilgannon's got a good power clean?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I didn't know that.
And yeah, they all.
I mean, for our
success leaves clues.
Success leaves clues. I'm thinking about our athletes, and like off the top of my head, you know, I have a couple guys that come to mind. That guy Lucas that we just started coaching.
Yeah.
Amazing Olympic weightlifting technique. Jumps really, really
powerful
high.
As hell.
Yep, powerful as hell.
Josh Rubel.
250, 255. I know, maybe 265.
I think he just hit 260 or 265.
Yeah, he's beaten my PR. You know, he's dunks the shit out of the ball. We got as Dom's Olympic lifting technique has gotten better and his power clean has gone up, so is his vertical. Hunter Castona, mm-hmm, got his clean up. His hit just hit 205. Better at Olympic lifting, better at dunking, right?
Yeah.
The guy I tagged you in yesterday. Shoot, why is he? East Bay to dunk camp in July.
Trenton Pierce?
Trenton Pierce. Repping 275 for doubles. East Bay, right?
Yeah.
Really, really good. Our better
East Bay
athletes,
off the dribble at, what, 5'10" or something?
And it's like, the thing is, it's not necessarily, like, how much weight they do. It's almost the way that they do it.
Yep.
They have good technique.
They look proficient.
They look proficient. Yeah, they look proficient. And they have a great second pull.
And high relative strength numbers in the power
clean. High relative strength numbers in the power clean. Like, they generally jump very, very high. That's what I've seen. I've seen it with 1 foot. I've seen it with 2 foot. High jumpers, like I said, dude, some of the craziest numbers I've ever seen for relative power comes from high jumpers. Like Mikey Hoffer.
Yeah.
Duke and power clean.
Freaky numbers, bro.
Shit ton. Even Jordan Westner power cleans like a decent amount. And his technique's not even proficient. I've seen crazy numbers from jumpers, track guys in the power clean. Like freaky, freaky relative strength numbers.
Yeah.
And it's usually from you know, the elite jumpers. And I think for us, it's like, why would we not use that? I'll tell you what I really haven't seen. Elite jumpers who care about their hex bar jump.
Yeah.
I've never seen an elite jumper like that was like, I really give a shit about my hex bar jump. Mm-hmm. Like, that's proficient with technique, that's proficient with, you know, technique in the weight room, and then also in their jump technique.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't really happen. Not really a conversation at all.
So having said all that, do you think it is a driver of vertical jump performance or more of an assessment?
I think it's deeper than that. Like, it's coordination is so complex I don't think it's this thing where it's like, oh, you display more power in Power Clean, you jump higher.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's like that. I think it's like, to have good Olympic lifting technique, you have to be very obsessed with getting good at the little things.
Yeah.
And I think that that is the same mindset that you need to have with jumping.
Maybe something,
it does improve power. Like, we do see research articles where it does improve power. Don't get me wrong. And your vertical jump does go up, and it is a great power exercise. But for what we do, I think it's that your attention to detail and your focus on improving those things, those aspects in training.
Yeah.
You know, and just getting after it and building fatigue using that exercise. Woo-wee! That got bright fast. You're going to kill me, but I got to turn that down. I think that's more about why they get better, you know?
I also think, so specificity is really important for adaptation. The more similar an exercise is to what you're trying to improve, the more transfer it's going to have. And one of the things that's really important, the reason like compound lifts are so much better than like a single joint exercise is because jumping is also complex and a compound movement. And what's really similar, or what's really interesting about power cleans, is they mimic not just the jump itself, but even it's like the penultimate into the plant into triple extension is like the exact same.
I haven't even talked about the biomechanics of why I think it's really effective. Like, honestly, I have not even touched on that. And like, if you were just to look at the movement patterns of a 2 foot jump and the movement patterns of a power clean, they are so freaking similar. I mean, it is insane up into the second pole.
Yep.
Like, you want to do the catch, don't do the catch.
Including the approach. Like, not just.
Like, if you're in a semi bent knee position, i.e., the penultimate step, you extend off of that just like you do off of the penultimate step. And then when you plant your leg, right? So that's like somewhat similar, right? But then if you're just talking about mid flight to touchdown of the plant foot and block foot, like, the plant foot is so similar, it's unbelievable. You go from what is essentially a bent knee position, right, when you're in flight, then you extend the knee, which is the second pole, you contact the ground, what is at the end of the first, or sorry, the first pole. At the end of the first pole, you contact the ground, your leg is completely straight, right? Your shins, if you were rotating the whole body, your shins would be vertical, just like a power clean. If you took a power clean, right, and you rotated it, it would look like touchdown of the plant foot.
Yeah.
That, like, you took the shin angle and you rotated it to where that would be. Mm-hmm. It's going to look exactly like the plant foot touching down. And then you bend the knee just like you do in a power clean.
Yeah. So.
And then you explode out of that position.
So there's.
Just like a power clean.
There's two things I want to address. One, I want to talk about how, like, I guess tips for increasing your power clean. But before we get into that, what would you say about the argument that the ground contact times are way longer in a power clean than a 2 foot jump or a 1 foot jump?
Look at the second pull. The second pull of a power clean is 130 milliseconds, maybe less.
Ho.
It's very, 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 very fast.
How fast? What are ground contact times for 1 and 2 foot jumps?
2 foot jumping is 300 milliseconds. 1 foot jumping is about 180. If you looked at from amortization upwards, like the push-up phase, that like from the double knee bend to pushing up out of that position, the time frames are very, very similar. Like, you're looking at, I mean, depends on the weight, you get anywhere from like, I think 100 milliseconds to like 160.
Yeah,
depends on how proficient you
are. And that's at what point of the power clean?
That's
what,
like, portion? When the knees get to the deepest position of the double knee bend to extension.
Okay.
You're looking
okay
at roughly the same time interval, right? And I'm not saying, like, in terms of specificity, I always think there should be at least a degree of separation away. Like, otherwise, why not just jump with weights on your back? Why not just go do approach jumps with dumbbells or something? You know, I think there needs to be a degree of separation away from that. Thomas Kortenberg
used to say that. That's actually a topic for another podcast, too.
Yeah, but
every time I do a Q&A, I get asked, weighted vest.
Weighted
vest. Like, it's like so such a common question.
What about weighted vest? I don't know. I don't really think it's, yeah, that's another conversation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that time interval is very similar. Now, the joint angles, in terms of specificity, at some point, you're going to be in a quarter squat of the jump as you're coming up, right? Now, maybe you don't have as much double knee bend, but it's quite a bit for guys, you know, and they're up on the ball of their foot. It's a very, you're in your strongest position. You're in a good leverage position, your strongest position, your most powerful position. You know, a jump, you might get into more flexion or whatever else, but in terms of the velocities, like, it's pretty high. And then that double knee bend, like, it happens really fast. Mm-hmm. You know, you go from being in the end of the first pole where your hips are back, you're like a silverback gorilla position, to the bottom of the double knee, like, pretty quick. And then you get out of that position pretty quick. Even if it's 450 milliseconds, that's pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
You're moving 300 pounds, you know, in your case, or something like that. Or, you know, I'm gonna pull my phone out, because I am curious on, we wanna know how long it takes to get in and out of, here's my phone. We wanna know how long it takes to get in and out of the bottom of the double knee bend.
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah.
We don't have to wonder. We can look this up. Are we gonna look at one of yours or one of mine?
Let's look at one of mine.
One of yours?
Yeah.
Oh, I might only have like 20.
You need a power clean?
A second.
A power clean?
I probably have one of, I mean, I have one of yours. I don't know like what frame rate it'll be. Like, this is one right here. This is probably 24 frames per second. That's okay. Let's get a little ballpark number. All right.
The app we're using, by the way, is My Jump 2. If you
it's a red, a blue, and a green.
This is not a sponsor. They don't pay us.
Yeah, they are not.
We probably should set up an affiliate thing with them, but it's how we measure flight times, ground contact times, RSI.
All right, so I'll just go from the bottom of the second pool to extension.
Yeah.
Here. Well, let's just look at the knee. Let's just go to the knee's full extension.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, right there. Take off, the catch, doesn't matter. Okay, so you take 150 milliseconds with 300 pounds to get from the out of amortization to the top, to get to terminal knee extension, 130 to 160.
Because
I went on the slower end for it. That's fast. That's really fast for knee extension exercises. All right, so that's one. All right, then we want to look at what it takes.
You know what's crazy? From
double knee bend.
Wait. You know what's crazy?
What's that?
So that's from,
that's the entire portion of the second pull concentrically.
Until the catch?
Dude, just from the your knees being extended, they dip under, swing under. So from that position to extension is 130.
And I haven't brought the bar up, right? It's just not to the catch?
No. So it's, let's see how I can explain this.
I'd have to see it visually.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to show you where this.
As I'm driving.
Is. Yeah. This is, so it's from this is where Austin bangs his face. From here to here is 130.
You know what's crazy?
Milliseconds.
Ground contact time for me is 0.26. That's exactly half.
Yeah. There you go. Well, let's see from the double knee bend. I'd be curious from the double knee bend. Like,
that's exactly. We're looking at essentially half, like ground contact time of my plant leg to toe off. My touchdown of the plant leg on a 2-foot jump to toe off of the 2-foot jump, for me, is 0.26. He's looking at what essentially is half that movement, and it was 130
between 130 to 160 milliseconds.
Which is like,
so now,
extremely specific.
All right, so let's go from the end of the first pull.
Yeah.
To triple extension.
Yeah.
We'll say there. So that's contact, 333. That's close. That's at your top weights, bro.
That's very close.
And that's
close.
Favoring, so you're probably at 300 to 330 milliseconds.
Yeah.
To get through the double knee bend and triple extension.
That's very specific.
That's very specific.
Slightly lower weights than max. Like, if I'm probably at 90% weights, like, it's 90% probably right at
just trying to move it a little
high
faster.
Specificity. Highest specificity.
We should look at that. That'd be a good idea. We try to figure out at what weight
Yeah.
You hit the same.
I bet you there would be a correlation between how easy I do those weights.
I bet you it's like 225, how 225 feels.
Yeah. Or something, and how like high I jump.
I wonder if I could have a 225 lift. That's crazy.
There's that argument about ground contact times.
Yeah, and then if you're going to look at just like the forces and stuff, we overload clean pulls, which helps the first pull, and then, you know, like that helps you power clean more weight, and then you're moving, you create a reserve where you can move the lighter weights faster, and your power output goes up at those even more specific angles.
Yep.
So it's like, there you go. There's a lesson in specificity for you, because you know what, you don't, unless you're doing counter movement hex bar jumps, you're not going to get the same velocity. I don't even know with a counter movement hex bar jump, you could even get close to the same. I bet you the eccentric forces on that would be a lot higher. Well, obviously, you have eccentric forces. Mm-hmm. You don't have eccentric forces in the double knee bend. Yeah. You're dealing with eccentric forces in a clean, but it's with your leg completely straight.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's like you're breaking from support until in a straight leg position. Like, you're breaking so much of the force at that point. Mm-hmm. For the first, you know, 30 milliseconds of ground contact, at that point, it probably is kind of similar to a clean as well by the time you're actually, like, getting into flexion and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's probably... Does it feel... I mean, the catch you said feels very similar, though,
the
right?
The catch, yeah. The catch is super similar.
Like, at the bottom where you do amortize. That's where you get the eccentric forces.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think it's... I feel it when the double knee bend happens a lot in my knee. When it's really, like, in my heavy weights and I'm pushing power output.
Yeah.
When I'm pushing P. Pushing power.
That's I'm trying I to think. It. I'm trying to think of how that part of the lift feels. The only thing that's different from that part of the lift is the joint angle isn't as deep.
What do you mean?
In the double knee bend.
When you're doing,
like, it probably feels more like, yeah, it probably feels more like my block foot, like the block foot pushing off is how the double knee bend.
I don't get as deep as you do, and obviously cleans. That's also a big part of it. Like, you catch really deep relative to I do.
So now, so we've explained why you should do power cleans and our argument for it helping your jumping. How do you increase it?
Bro, I love watching cleans too. Just the way your quads freaking pop out, your calves get loaded up, man. I'm just watching my lift here. You guys can see this. I'm just watching myself just freaking looking. Wait, here we go. Just watching myself look like an absolute freaking unit. Oh, I love it. What a great lift. So wait, what was your next
point? How do you increase it?
How do you increase your clean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just some Ollie lifting science. So if you're an Ollie lifter, I mean, what they do is a little bit different. Like when I worked with Vance, he did some interesting stuff. Like he would do a lot of different stuff. He would really start with super high volumes of movements early in the year. So like, I think that they would around the spring. Yeah, because Taylor just did, shout out Taylor Turner and Vance Newgard. They mentored me a lot. Well, Vance specifically, but Taylor still works with him. Just kind of his top dog. And I think he coaches at Bruton Parker, is what it's called, or something like that. Anyway, so he taught me a bunch about the progressions and then also kind of how he does it. And I saw a lot of it. They track load volume, I think, a lot of the time. So it'll be like how much weight you lifted by the like total. Like, yeah. Like so if you did like 100 pounds for 10 reps, that's 1,000 for load volume.
Yeah.
So he would track that for like all of his athletes. And that number, when he was like building volume and stuff, that number would skyrocket. Yeah. So he would do like 55 pounds for like sets of 15, 5x15 on back squat. A lot of the time, you know, he would use load volume and he'd follow the same principle. So volume would go high to low. You know, that number would go from higher numbers to lower numbers.
Yeah.
And obviously you're gonna see massive jumps because if you take a set out, you're gonna lose 1,000 on one single exercise. And if you're just doing bench press or something, that's an easy way to get it to go up. So he would use that a lot. And then he also would do, you should just go to Chick-fil-A, bro. Just go to the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. He used that number a lot. He also used generally the scheme where your heavy lifts are like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then your general days were those Tuesday, Thursdays. I'm pretty sure that's what he would do. So similar to what we do.
Yeah.
But he would like squat heavy. I think like back squats would be on Monday, and he would pair that with like heavy snatch or no. Heavy clean. You pair that with heavy clean, and then you would pair like heavy snatch with heavy front squat so that you're able to like balance those things, which makes sense, right? Kind of like balancing qualities. And then he would do like, I think split jerk on either accessory days or Fridays, and then maybe some like accessory work, maybe one of the other squats. And then he would do a lot of like complexes and stuff, pulls and stuff like that on Tuesday, Thursdays, or he would do that after like as accessory work kind of.
Yeah.
But usually they'd pick like two big lifts on Monday, Wednesday, Friday and pair them. So I think, I'm pretty sure it was like either full clean and jerk or like really heavy full cleans and shit. And then this would be like during specific cycles. I don't know that, I guess I'm getting too far into the weeds. How we do it is a little bit different. Typically what I like to do for guys to get their power clean up is really boost up their pulls, their ability to pull. So clean pull, panda pull, high pull, What else? What other thing, pulls did we do? At super maximum weights of their power clean.
Yeah.
That's how I typically get the pull better. And then I'll start with usually density with the cleans, like power cleans and stuff. Not, I don't do full cleans usually with my jumping athletes because they are not very proficient at them and they don't really need to do it. And I'll usually load their squat, you know, either front or back squat. So I like to unload their legs in the Ollies and just focus on power, that being the main emphasis of it. You're going to get higher power outputs from those guys in power clean and power snatch. So typically I'll do those like 2 to 3 times a week, and then I'll start with lower percentages earlier in the year, and then later in the year, sometimes I won't even put power clean or power snatch early in the year. It'll just be pulls because it's more strength emphasis and strength speed. And then I'll trend towards the power movements. So power clean, power snatch, like further into the year when I want guys to be more specific. And that's usually where their numbers will go up in those lifts. Like that second or third mesocycle of a six month macro cycle. Halfway through, they're usually peaking absolute numbers. And then what I like to do is get them really good in more specific movements, which is going to be pulling from, for Isaiah, I always keep at least one power clean day and at least once a week. But other athletes, I'll put hang movements in. I'll pull from blocks to try to see higher velocities and higher power outputs, because again, you're going to get specificity to jump up by doing that.
Pauses.
I'll put pauses in as well. Pauses I like to use for general work. That's usually earlier in the year. But I'll also do counter movement reps. So I'll tell Isaiah, you know, I want you to drop the bar from a high height, catch it, and basically try to change direction really quickly. And usually that's really, really good for getting guys eccentrically stronger, right? So if Isaiah is at the top of a rack or, you know, rack position, I say drop down and then catch it and get out of that position again. Or a counter movement clean where they're kind of like standing up tall and then they drop down into it and then change direction really quickly. I've done it with high pulls with Isaiah where I'll say, you know, do a high pull, and then as soon as the bar gets down to mid thigh, turn it around and jump out of that position. I've done that with him before. That stuff's very specific. I usually pair that with like fast eccentric loading later in the year. So when we're at the tail ends of the force velocity curve, you know, on the curves, right? You now can see the tail ends where you're, holy cow, holy guacamole. you're on the tail ends of that curve, and you know, that's where you want specificity to be the highest. So if you only cared about just getting your clean as high as possible, what I've typically seen happen is just basically daily max twice a week. That works super well when you suck, just daily max. It worked for Nathan, it worked for me. Doesn't really work super well for you now because you're so well trained that you don't have the luxury of backing off of heavy weights.
Yeah. So like, I feel like the most beneficial stuff for me at this point are like heavy pulls off the ground and then lots of volume at sub-maximal weights.
Lots of volume at sub-maximal
weights,
you said?
Yeah, with like high RPE. Like if I'm doing like doubles and triples and it's like RPE 9, and I'm getting a lot of volume there, I usually tend to see my power clean climb up.
The thing too for you is like you have to be doing those heavy pulls followed up by heavy power cleans.
Yeah.
Like if you, and you can't do them the same way, same day. That's a big mistake. I think when guys try to go heavy pulls and then connect the dots to heavy power cleans, it never works.
It's almost like
in high jump when guys try to jump off a box and then they take the box away, it's like it does not transfer. Like you want to try to keep it compartmentalized and not do too much in one day. Like let the athlete kind of figure out what they need to work on, what they want to focus on that given day, and then the next session focus on something else if you want to. That's what I've seen. Anything else you want to add to that?
I think that's pretty good there, man.
Do your Olympic lifts.
Yeah,
they're worth doing. We didn't even really
get I guess how catch, do you but how would you go about learning them too?
How would you learn Ollies? I think the best way to do it is just grab an empty barbell or something with like 10 pound training plates, the like bumper plates. Make sure you have the right height off the floor. I think that's a big, big error a lot of people don't make. Is he wearing face mask?
I've seen a lot of THP.
I thought he had paint. I thought he had face paint on.
That's a big mistake I see athletes making, especially if they don't have bumper plates, is they'll like
pull with 10 pound.
It'll be like fives. Like it'll be like fives and they'll go from the floor. Like,
that
no, like,
fucks up.
Start from mid shin.
Yeah. Start from mid shin if you don't have.
Put the bar on something, plates. Put it on a rack, stack up boxes, stack up plates. Yeah. Start from the floor.
So the progression I like to do for learning them is I'll teach the first pull, And then with pauses, typically, I'll add in the second pull, which is a jump. So I'll say, look, take the bar from the floor, pull it up to above the knee, make sure the positioning is perfect, pause there, put the bar back down and repeat that process. Master the first pull off the floor. Then the next thing I'll say is, okay, go to the end of the first pull and pause and then jump. So then, you know, they'll do that and then they'll jump and now they've developed the double knee bend. And that's really, really important. That's what Isaiah and I were talking about, where the knees kind of sweep under the bar. It's what makes it so different than a deadlift. And then what I'll do is I'll say, okay, let me teach you a front squat. So now they have the front rack position. They know how to catch the bar. Then the next thing I'll do is I'll teach them how to transfer basically the jump to the catch. So I'll keep it simple at first and I'll say jump into a front squat. If that's not happening, and this is usually the toughest part for people, is learning how to get the bar from the jump to the catch, I'll say take an empty barbell and I just want you to do an upright row, keep the bar as close as possible into a front squat. Keep the bars on the fingertip. I've coached this through so many different powerlifting tutorials. People that generally struggle with that part is because they lack shoulder mobility or wrist mobility, in which case you just gotta rep that out with a barbell, like empty barbell. It's basically dynamic flexibility. You know, you're just doing the movement over and over and over again. You could do 100 reps with the bar a day and it's not really gonna fatigue you that much. It's just low grade, very low intensity fitness work. I recommend guys do that as like a set of 30 or 50, you know, five sets of 10 to warm up. You could do that every day. You could do that with snatch, you could do it with overhead squat, you could do it with front squat, you could do it with back squat. And the bar is not gonna be enough weight where it's gonna fatigue you. Even if you had 40 pounds on the bar, or 40 kilos, 85 pounds, that's almost no weight.
Yeah.
So I would just say do a ton of reps. This guy's eyeing up your hell kizzy, bro. Yeah, that's how
I reps, go. Man. Reps with empty barbells. Like, way too often I see people with ugly technique trying to max. Like, master just the bar. If it doesn't look good with the bar, it's not gonna look good when you're loading it up with weight. So, if you're a THP athlete, master it with light weights and send us the videos too.
Yeah.
Of you trying with
and if the it's bar. Okay at lighter weights and then, you know, you get to a max and your form goes to shit, you can work off of that number, but I wouldn't max until you can almost rep that with good form in the training, right? So you, like, for example, we had an athlete who was struggling. His technique was okay until I got to a max and then it went to shit. Like, first off, just drop the bar. Don't try to lift the weight at the cost of your body because you're trying to get it, like, you know, especially wrists and stuff. You know, keep your hand open. That's a huge mistake I see people make. They try to hold on to the bar. I try to coach Austin out of it all the time. I
think, and let it hit you.
Let the bar hit you in the shoulders, you know, and if you're scared of it, you know, clotheslining you, then put a towel around the bar and try not to fall over when it hits you in the shoulders and the neck. Keep your hand open. That's a big mistake. Don't hold onto the bar. Anything else big mistakes?
It's, you know what's crazy? I never realized this, but getting good at catching heavy power cleans helps you so much with being physical in sports.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Like, I'm thinking, like, a power clean is literally like a contact sport.
It's like getting punched.
Yeah, like, you just learn how to, like, take hits. Like, it's really similar to being on a basketball court and jumping in the air and someone kind of hits you. Like,
what's crazy?
I'm used to a 315 pound bar moving at high velocities. You're nothing to me.
Hammering me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you still get fouled into fucking oblivion. Yeah, those 315 pound guys. It's just, so like, last week,
my weakness in the basketball court is 6'8", 300 pound dudes.
Yeah, they're impossible to move around. Bigger than Jokic, yeah. Way more than Jokic, and they just body you. But, all right, I think that suffices. I feel like we covered that pretty thoroughly. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have questions, make sure you leave it in the comment section below. Like the video if you're watching on YouTube and subscribe to his channel. You can go to my channel. It is John Evans 6265. And if you're listening on a streaming platform, give us 5 stars, leave a comment if you can, subscribe if that gives you the option. I think that Spotify lets you do that. And yeah, I guess we'll catch you guys next time. Go to teamboostrength.com if you want the best training in the entire world. See you guys.